holding by the two dots on towards the bottom of Chazayin Reb Beis, about 10, 12 lines to the bottom. Hello. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person lost a get, the shliach who is bringing a get lost it, if he finds it right away, then it's kosher. And we discussed the pros and cons yesterday about is it possible maybe people have passed by in between, or the two people with the same name maybe, etc. If he didn't find it right away, it's possible. Actually, it's really in connection with if you didn't find it right away that whole discussion was. If you found it right away, there's not much of a problem. But if you didn't find it right away, then you have a problem. So, turn it up on him. Ezehu shaloi la'alter, what is considered that you didn't find it right away? Rab Nathan Omer, sheshtoha kadesh atav shiyara v'tishra. Rab Nathan says, our choices, by the way, points out there are two different gerstois over here. One is the way we have it, Ezehu shaloi la'alter. The following are going to be the definition of what's considered not right away, implying you need less than this for it to be considered right away. The other possibility is, Tosfos says, maybe the gersta is Ezehu la'alter, what's considered that it is still right away. Is if there's just enough time for one of these things that we're going to describe to happen. Any more than that would be shalei l'alter.
Why would
that's two different gersois that I know. It's two different gersois that existed. Anyway, sort of nothing. And there's a shoha, if there was enough of a delay after the first get was lost, kadesh atav shayara, enough that a caravan can pass by the tishra and rest there. So then, there's a possibility that they lost the get. That they lost another get with the same name. Tosfos has a
2 days.
Well, however long it is, however long it takes caravans to pass by there. Tosfos gives a different explanation that the tishra means long enough for a caravan to stop there and have a meal. The point being, when they have a meal, they have to unpack some of their stuff in order to take out their dishes and whatnot and their food. At that point, one of them might have been carrying a get and dropped it. Okay, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, another definition. Kadesh yehi adam omed v'roya shalai avar sham adam. It doesn't depend on whether there's enough time for a caravan to pass there. If somebody is standing and watching there and sees shalai avar sham adam that nobody passed by, from when the shliach dropped it until the get was found, there was somebody standing there and noticing that nobody else passed by. It depends. However long, but the point is, if there wasn't somebody standing there, then there's a possibility somebody else may have passed by and dropped a get and dropped another get, and then what we found is not the original get. The yeshayim, third possibility, shalosh shaha adam shom. Not Rabbi Lazar is saying that nobody passed through there, but that nobody stayed there for any length of time. If somebody passed and then right away went through, the yeshayim are not worried about that. If he stayed there for any length of time, then there's more of a concern that he may have dropped again. Rebbe says the definition of the time that's not considered la'alter is the time it takes to write a complete get. Now Rashi says, as far as this, in the next couple of ones, Rashi says there's no specific reason why there's no logical reason. The other ones, there's all a logical reason why to say that they're the shear. Long enough, if there's enough time for a caravan to have passed by, or pointed up in a time to have had a meal there, whatever, they may have dropped it. If somebody passed by, he may have dropped it as he goes by, etc. These next couple of shear, I mean, Rashi says it's a shear of alma nafta. They had to give some kind of shear. That was the shear they came up with. Some of the Mepharshim want to explain that some Achareinim want to explain that maybe the vote is that maybe we have to be concerned that this woman who knows that a get is on its way to her is on its way to her, and now the shliach comes and says I lost it, might get somebody else to write a new get, and then pretend like it's the original one that was given to her, and then therefore if you have enough time to have written a get, then there's a possibility that she may have done something like that. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer Kedei L'Kroiser. Rabbi Yitzchok says it's the amount of time it takes to read the get. Acherim Omer Kedei L'Kroiser. That you need enough time for both, to write it and to read it. Continues the Braisa. Ba'afilu Shoha. Now, even if there was a great amount of time, however, but there's a simon that you can use to be made that this is the original get, and the Gemara interjects, the Amri, for example, the Shliach or the Edim or whatever say, as we learned yesterday, neck of Yeshba Bitzad Ois Plainis, there's a hole next to such and such a letter in the get, which is a simon mupak, that's a very distinctive simon. Therefore, so that's fine. So then that kind of thing is acceptable, even if there was a long time from when the get was lost. So the chances that you're going to have even a whole other caravan or whatever that passed by and dropped a get that has the same name, the same city, and a hole in the same and same witnesses and a hole in the same spot, unlikely. However, continues the Braise, the Ibn Simone Aguf, but you can't give Eidos to retrieve the get after one of these amounts of time has passed based on physical simonim of the get. What do I mean by physical simonim? The Amri Oruch Begut. For example, they say that the get is long or that it's short. Now, that can't even really be considered a simon. There's a lot of long get and there's a lot of short get. So actually what it is, in the Farshim explain, there's three levels of simonim. We talked yesterday, and we talked just now about simon muvhak, which is a very distinctive simon. We learned also at the end of Yeromus last year about a very distinctive simon on a person's body, for example. Then you have very generic statements, like here, for example, the get was long, the person was long, and the person was tall, the person was short, etc. And then you have sort of in-between simonim that are not distinctive. It's not like there's only going to be one get or one person in the world that has a simon, but on the other hand, it's not like you're going to have millions of get in or millions of people with it. So if it's a simon muvhak, we're saying that's valid, that's valid for sure, even deraisa. Even as far as returning a get and using it for gerushin, which is going to be matir and eshes ish. If it's a generic simon, then that's worthless. If it's a medium simon, the Gemara is not talking about it over here because we learned yesterday that there is a discussion in Bar Metzia, interesting, also on Dachav Zayin, and whether simonim to return a lost object are valid deraisa or derabanan. And here we're talking about average simonim. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't get into it over here because, as we said yesterday, there is that suffix. If you say that average simonim are valid deraisa, insofar as returning an aveda, then they're also valid for returning a get. If not, if it's only valid derabanan, then they're not valid for returning a get. But at least the Braisa is telling us that the two extremes.
I guess it would be more somber, right?
No, if we say that a simon is valid deraisa, that's the Gemara discusses over there in that sugya in Bar Metzia. The Gemara discusses. When we say that you return a lost object, somebody comes and gives a simon and you return it to him, is that deraisa or is it a bonum? Midraisa, according to that, maybe you would need to have actual aidim, that the thing belonged to you, and midrabanan will downgrade it and say it's good enough. No, that's the thing. The Gemara says it there. The nafkah minna is, can you return a get based on simonim? If simonim are valid deraisa, then they're valid even for returning a get.
How do you know that?
That's what Gemara assumes, because once we say they're valid deraisa, it means for everything. If we say they're only valid derabanan, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says over here, if you say they're only valid derabanan, fine, hefker based in hefker. They can say, really, midin toto, this thing shouldn't be returned to you because you don't have a simon muvhak or edim. However, hefker based in hefker will allow that it'll be expropriated from the person who found it and given back to you. You can't do that with a get. Whereas if you say they're valid deraisa, then yes, it's even valid for returning a get. Continue the Braisa.
What's the halacha, by the way?
The halacha, if I remember correctly, is that simonim are deraisa, but I'm not sure about that. Even when it comes to a get, though, you need a simonim. Okay. Matze kosher v'kis, if you find the get tied to a purse, ba'arniki, or a money bag, or a tabas, or to a ring, and Rashi says you recognize the purse, or you recognize the ring, or what have you, osh matze ben kelev, or you found it among your own items at home. So now we're talking about the other cases where it was found in the street. Here, if you actually found it at home, you misplaced it in your house, and now you found it among your stuff. Afilu is man meruba. So in all these cases, even if it was sometime later, kosher. In the case of the case of the arniki or what have you, the case is, Rashi says that you have a simon, you recognize the case of the arniki or whatever. Therefore, the get is tied to it, and automatically one goes together with the other.
It's considered additive.
Once we have a simon on the kiss, and the kiss can be returned to you, then automatically the get goes along with it.
It
seems like it's saying even if it's not a simon muvhak, it actually just says actually a makir that you recognize it, which may even mean that like we talked about yesterday, tvias ayin. If you just have a general impression of it without being able to give a specific simon.
Where who found it?
Somebody else, some third party. It could be that the person himself found it. It could be that somebody else found it. But actually, let's assume that the person himself found it. He himself being the shliach was carrying the get. So he tied it to his purse, for example. He lost the whole thing. Now, sometime later, he finds it, and he himself finds it, and he says, okay, I recognize this purse. So the get goes along with it. Tertius points out that actually there's two possibilities. Tertius says you could have a case where there's Adim, let's say, that this purse or this ring belonged to him. And by the way, the Gemara points out in Bava Metzia over there that even though with many things we say there's a possibility a person might have lent them out, a person doesn't lend out their ring or their money bag. A money bag a person doesn't lend out because they consider it bad luck, like you lend out your money bag and your mazel goes with it. And your rings, because they had signet rings in those days that you used for stamping documents, and you don't want to lend that out because you don't want somebody else to forge documents in your name. So Tosfos brings two possibilities over here. One is if there's Adim, that the kiss of Tabas belong to you, therefore automatically the get goes along with that. Or you yourself found it and you recognize that it's yours, and then Tosfos says you have a migur. You could have said I never lost it in the first place. And as far as this business of if he finds it at home among his stuff, so again, Tosfos says, even if we're talking about many people always coming and going in his house, but since he found it among his own things, it's not likely that somebody else came in and dropped it over there. It's most likely to be the one that he dropped, that he lost.
The same name.
Itmar, so now Chachamim said a discussion. Who is the halacha like among all these opinions? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha shalai shah adam sham. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is, according to the opinion, that la'alter is considered if there wasn't enough time for somebody to spend any length of time there, the yesha amrim from the Braisa. Rabbi Babachana Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel halacha shalai ova adam sham. The halacha is rather like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that if it's long enough that nobody passed by over there, there has to have been not even enough time for somebody to pass, but somebody was watching that nobody even passed by. The Gemara says, Lema mar halacha kamar, mar halacha kamar. Why doesn't just Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel say the halacha is like Yesha Omrim, and Rabbi Baba Chana say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar? The Gemara uses the fancy in a number of places, Bishum Da'afki Lahu, because you have some versions of some Tanoim, when they learn this Braisa, they flipped around the opinion. The opinion that we have here in our version of the Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, they attribute it to Yesh Edrim, and vice versa. So if Rav Baba Chana were to say Alocha to Rav Shimon Elazar, or Rav Yehuda were to say Alocha to Yesh Edrim, then it would be confusing which one they mean the Alocha is actually like.
But who is the Alocha like?
So in the end, so that's what we're saying. So we're saying in the name, Rabbi Baba Chana is saying halacha shle over adam sham. That is part of the halacha. If there was not enough time for somebody to have even passed by there, then it's considered la'alter. Once there has been enough time that somebody could have passed by, or you didn't have somebody watching and seeing that nobody passed by, then already it's not considered la'alter anymore.
Very short amount of time.
It is. But there's also all the factors that we talked about yesterday as well. Shayoris, Mitzuyas, and Shnei, and Hoksiku, Shnei, Shemes. There was actually a bit of a Machlokas or Shonim, between that Machlokas of Rabba and Rav Zeira that we mentioned yesterday, which one is the halacha like? Do we say that you need, in order for the get to be possible, you need all the factors, you need caravans passing by commonly, as well as you need two people from the same city known to have the same name, or is it just enough if you have one and not the other? Yeah.
That's all it's like.
But we said today she had a omid v'roya, that somebody has to be standing there and watching when nobody passes by. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah said matzibah chafisa or d'luskma, that if you found the get in a chafisa or d'luskma, then we said if you recognize it, it's kosher. Meaning if you recognize the chafisa or the d'luskma. So you know, give definitions. My chafisa, Amar Rav Baba Chana, chemis kana. It means a small leather bag. My dluskma, tzlika desavi. A dluskma is a bag that old people use to keep their things in. So either way, those are typical kind of containers that people might keep or that people might put a get in.
We defined them already.
I mentioned it in the Mishnah yesterday when we learned it, but I took that definition from the Gemara over here. No. Okay. Speaking of old, the Mishnah says, "Hamevi get v'hinicha zaken echola." A person is carrying a get, he's a shliach halacha, and the person he's bringing it from is old or sick. Noisim l'becheskas shulkayim. It's okay. You can give the get to the woman based on the chazaka that the husband is still alive. Now Rashi says the concern we might think to have is what if the husband died, and if the husband died, the shlichus is batal. Tosfos Rid says, rather, never mind the shlichus batal. If the husband's dead, there's no such thing as a get la'achamisa.
Dies or the husband's dead?
In other words, when he left, obviously the husband was alive.
Right.
We're saying that now, a month later, by the time he reaches where the woman is, he can assume the Mishnah is saying the husband is still alive. The husband has a chezkas chayim. He has chazakah of still being alive. Because if we didn't have that chazakah, Rashi says the problem is, if the husband was dead, why would he not be able to deliver the get? Because his shlichus would be bottled. Tosfos Reed says, what are you talking about? His shlichus is bottled. Never mind that. There's the fact, a get la chamisa. A get can't be in effect after he's dead. Some of Foshim talk about why indeed, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And in fact, Mephoshim point out that the reason why Rashi says the way he does is because why Bechlal, if the husband's dead, what do we care whether the get is kosher anyway? Either way, she's free to remarry. Because what if she's a Shemeret Yavam? Exactly. What if the husband died child? What if the husband is dying childless and he has brothers? Rashi might hold that even, yes, we do usually say en get la chamisa, but because over here his death makes her a Shemeret Yavam, makes her a sukkah, that itself would allow the get to still be given.
His purpose was she should be parted from Yibum.
So the point that Tosfos Reed is mentioning that a get can't be given la chamisa, Rashi might hold in this case, yes, you would be able to give a get la chamisa. The only problem would be that the shlichus has expired.
The general shlichus has, but the yibum shlichus has
not. No, so that's the thing. We would say, in other words, that since the shlichus has expired, therefore you can't give the get, but only for that reason, not because of the reason that a get itself can't take effect after death.
Right. So there is a risk of yibum.
It would be. I mean, it would be a get lachamisa. That's the thing. But that's what Tosfos Reed is arguing. But according to Rashi, we would say, in other words, that the get itself would be able to be effective. So therefore, for example, if it wasn't even after Misa. However, the shlichus is bottled. So therefore, we have that problem.
If they still have the Misa, I think we get it to shlich. Wouldn't we consider that? Is he told me the boss when you get to her? She says, what now?
No. If he said ma'achshav alachamisa, that's for sure not a problem. For sure, it can be delivered alachamisa because it takes effect retroactively from now. But he didn't write the get that way. He just wrote it. I'll say he just wrote an ordinary get, which will take effect only when it's delivered to her or to her shliach. So, yeah. Okay. But anyway, he can give it to her based on the chazakah that she's still alive. That he's still alive, rather. By the way, I mean, the Mishnah is mentioning zaken oichayla, that he's old or sick. What if he's old and sick? What if the husband is old and sick? Does that maybe destroy the chazakah? The Marshal says no. The Marshal says it doesn't matter. Even if he's old and sick, nevertheless, he still has a chazakah being alive. Interesting thing, though, one of the acharonim on Shulchan Aruch, the base mayor, brings from a very interesting sefer called Ben HaMelech V'HaNazir. This Ben HaMelech V'HaNazir is a philosophical novel that was written in the Middle Ages by one of the late Rishonim or early Achronim, Rabbi Avraham Ibn Chasdai. He took a story that was circulating around among the Goyim, among the Christians, which actually they had gotten from the Buddhists. It's actually the life story of Buddha, which they took over and then twisted into their ways, and then he took it over and then gave a Yiddish a twist on it and made it into a Jewish story. It became a very popular sefer. It was reprinted any number of times. Ben HaMelech V'HaNazir. Anyway, in there you have the various discussions between the Ben HaMelech, the prince, the original Buddha, and a Nazir, a monk. About life, about there's an expression in there that there are three things for which there's no cure, and one of them is the person who's old and sick. So based on that, Shulchan Aruch wants to say, based on that, maybe then, if the person is old and sick, maybe you do have a problem, maybe you can't give the get. However, he says, or other Mephoshim say, that they're very nice, I mean, Ben HaMelech V'HaNazir, yeah, very nice, but it's a story. You can't use it for determining halacha, yeah. No, well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're talking about ordinarily sick, yeah. Continues the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael HaNasur LaKoyin, what happens if the wife of the Bas Yisrael married to a Koyin, V'holach Bailol L'Medinas HaYam, and her husband went overseas, O'chelos P'Trumah V'chelos Shulkayim, she can continue eating Trumah based on the Chazakah that her husband is still alive. Again, the same thing as we said in the first part of the Mishnah, we have a Chazakah, the husband is still alive, same thing over here. And a third case, where we say that the Chazakah, that the person is still alive, HaShaleach Chatasim L'Medinas HaYam, if somebody sends a Korban Chatas from overseas, they can bring it as a korban based on the chazaka that he's still alive. If we knew he was dead, you can't bring it to the chatas whose owner died, as we've learned a lot of times, is as lemisa. It has to be left to die. But here, we use the chazaka that he's still alive, and therefore we can bring it. So the Gemara starts. Amar Rava, Lo Shanu, this that we're saying in the Mishnah, that if he left, that shliach left when the husband was old or sick, or old and sick, or whatever, and we're saying that we can use the chazaka, he's still alive, Lo Shanu Elozakin Shaloi Higil Gvuris. This is only talking about if he's old, but not old as in he reached Gvuris, he reached 80 years old, and V'choyla, and we're talking about a regular sick person, not a Goisis, Shadoi V'choyla M'chaim, because most people who are sick do recover. Avol Zaken Shigila Gvuris, but if the Zaken who's so old, he's already 80 years old, the Goisis, or he's a Goisis, he's taking his last breath. It's one or the other. Shadroyev Goisis in Lamisa, where when it comes to a Goisis, most Goisis do end up dying, then we can't say he has a Chazkas Chaim. Eis Ve'abaya, Abaya asked him, a Braita says, maybe get, if somebody is bringing a get, the Nicha Zaken, when he left the husband was old, Afilu ben Meya Shana, even if the husband was 100 years old, and actually they bring from the Yerushalmi has an expression, even if the husband was 100 years old, and the Shliach was 100 years delayed on the trip. No, Sama B'chazkas Shukayim, he could still deliver the get based on the Chazaka, the husband is still alive. Jumta, there's a contradiction to Rava. Okay, so it's a contradiction. So whether now on the face of it, the Gemara is only contradicting him as far as the Zaken. On the face of it, the Gemara is not contradicting him as far as the Goisis, as far as the Choyla versus Goisis. So, yeah. However, the Iboy Sema, however, another way you could look at it is that it's not necessarily such a contradiction to Rava, given the Iflig. Yes, you would say that when a person has reached 80 years old, it's very likely they're going to pass away soon. But once they've reached much, much older than that, Rashi says even for example 90, other Mepharshim say 100 based on the Braisa over here. Think of it in terms of statistics. You know, they have life expectancies for people. You know, your average person is expected to live until their late 70s, early 80s, or whatever. But if you have somebody who lives to be 100, you know, then obviously, you know, they're way beyond. You know, they're in the 99th percentile or whatever. You can't use the average statistics for them anymore. So given to Iflig, once they're already separated from the general run of people, then they're already separated. And then, so in other words, what we could say is, to work with what Rava is saying, if the guy has turned 80 and he's between 80 and 90 or between 80 and 100, different proportions, talk about the possibilities, then we have to say maybe he might die at any second and we can't say the Chazkas Chaim anymore. Once he's reached 90 or 100, as the case may be, then already we say we can give him back his Chazkas Chaim. We can assume he didn't know how he died. Abaya pointed out a contradiction to Rabba as follows, between our Mishnah and a Braisa. We learn in our Mishnah maybe get we learn in our Mishnah that if you bring the get and the husband was old or sick, that noisim abcheskas shukayim, you can give her the get using the chazaka that he's still alive. But I have a contradiction. A braisa says if the husband says to his wife, the husband says, I'm giving you this get and it should take effect one hour or 1 minute, whatever, before I die. And she's also teaching him right away before he dies. Okay, a person doesn't want to say it. It means before his own death. But okay, a person doesn't want to say it himself. Like it. Yeah, the pastor is here. And she's also teaching him right away. Again, we're talking the case of Basi Yisrael who's married to a Kohen. Even though he's still alive, but at any moment he might die. So if she has children from him, maybe. We learned in Yavamas that she's able to continue eating truma based on her children. But if she has no children from him, she has to stop eating truma right then, once she receives the gift, because any moment after that he might die, and then she'll be able to take truma. So you see that we are worried about that he might die at any second. We don't give him a cheskes chayim. Rabbi says to Abaye, truma, gittin, karomit. What are you bringing me a steer between a case of truma and gittin? Truma Efsher, Get Lo Efsher. In the case of Truma, there was an alternative. Fine, she can't eat Truma anymore. Let her eat Chulin. In the case of a Get, there's no alternative. You can't worry about that as soon as a Get is given, there's a possibility, as soon as a Get is written, there's a possibility of Misa. How would you ever have that somebody would be able to send a Get? I mean, Dinah Sayyam. There would always be the possibility that he's dead, and you'd have problems. Incidentally, by the way, going back to the whole business about why we need the get to be effective after he's dead. So we said one reason is in case she's a Shmeres Yavam. Rabbi Akiva Eger gives another reason as well, based on something we learned in Yavamas last year, which is we know a Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kohen, and Almana is. Suppose now he dies before the get is given. Obviously, the get is not effective. So she's an almana rather than a grusha. However, people are going to know that a get was given to her. You're going to need people to announce. Beis Din is going to have to make a public announcement that even though you saw she received a get, nevertheless, she's not really a grusha because her husband died before the get ever was delivered to her. People are not going to, what if people don't hear the announcement, though, and they're going to think that a grusha can marry a kohen? However, the Gemara says, "Rodomi truma truma." Okay, fine, you're right. You can't bring a stira between a case of gittin and a case of truma. However, I can find you a stira within the case of truma itself. Shanan, because we learn in a Mishnah. Actually, it's a Braisa. Bas Yisrael hanasur l'koyin. If you have a Bas Yisrael who's married to a koyin, v'holach b'ayelun dinas yam, her husband goes overseas, echelus b'truma v'cheskes shukayim, she can continue eating truma. But actually, it was all a Mishnah. It was our Mishnah, right. Bas Yisrael hanasur l'koyin, v'holach b'ayelun dinas yam, her husband went overseas, echelus b'truma v'cheskes shukayim. She can continue eating truma based on the chazaka that he's alive. Uraminu, ha'rezikit, ha'chshah, ha'skarim itself, after l'lachal b'truma miyad. The Braisa that Abaye just quoted to Rabba says that she can't eat truma when she receives a get that takes effect which knows against our Mishnah. Yes, you have a contradiction there within the din of truma itself. Can she continue eating truma based on her husband's cheskes chayim or not? Amr of Adar Beidar Bitzchok, shiny hosam, it's different in the case where he actually gave her a get and said it'll take effect shortly before I die. Share Osra, all of Sha'achas, Kodim Yisasa, because he actually, maybe fine, we'll say that we're not choshish that he might die. But since he himself declared her Osra shortly before he dies, then already at any time, it might be, not that he's dead right now, but that he's going to die soon. That Sha'achas is in effect now. That is more of a possibility. Now, okay, Rashi says shinui d'chiku. It's a bit of a droichet to make that distinction, and therefore the Gemara is going to question it. Fine, but you're assuming so far that all of this is based on the idea that he's going to end up dying first, that there is necessarily going to be that time before he dies when she's going to become also teach from her. But who says? You have the possibility that she may die before he does. There's never going to come that time of Isser. There's never going to come that time when he's also teach from her. So why are you assuming just because he said you're also Sha'achas Kodim Misasi, why does that all of a sudden create the suffix? As a matter of fact, I think Maharam Sheikh talks about it sort of a spec speka, a suffix whether she's going to die first and there's never going to be a time of Easter, or whether there's never going to be a time, or not, if she dies first, there's never a time of Easter. And within that, a suffix, even if he ends up dying first, we don't know at any time when that's going to be. It's sort of a spec faker then. So why are we saying, why is the Braita saying that? Not really.
Because
the get takes effect an hour before he dies, right?
So she's still leaving and
right. Okay. Right. But the point is, in other words, there's not a definite. It's true. If he dies, there's going to be an issue. But there's not a definite situation of issue over here. It's questionable whether there's even ever going to come a situation of issue. No, we're not talking about if he's a ghost. So and yet, if the Braisa is telling us that she can't eat truma, Sha'achas Kodim Misasa, that implies that we are choshish l'misa. So we are concerned that we are concerned about the possibility of him dying. So how does that fit with what we do?
Really choshish, we're saying, and perhaps she cannot eat
truma. That's the point. Once she receives the get, we're saying she can't eat truma from then on.
Right.
That's what we're saying. But on the face of it, how does that fit with our Mishnah that says that if there was no get involved, he just went to Medina Siyam, that she can continue eating Shruma? How do those two things fit? Ela Amar Abaya, like Kasha Harab Meir, like Chayish Lemisa, Harab Yehuda the Chayish Lemisa. You know what? Rabbi Abaya says it's actually Machlokas Tanoim. Rabbi Meir is not concerned about the possibility of imminent death, and Rabbi Yehuda is. So our Mishnah then would be according to Rabbi Meir, the Braisa would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, as we learn, or the Tanya actually, the famous Braisa that we had just a couple of days ago, which is quoted many, many times in Shas, Halakeach Yain Ben HaKusim, if somebody buys wine from the Kusim, whereas we said the other day, the Kusim, they take Truma and Maisa from stuff that they themselves eat, but they don't take Truma and Maisa from stuff that they sell to others. They're not worried about the neighbor, or they hold that it's not necessary, whatever it is exactly. And he doesn't have kalim to put the Truma and Maaser in, or it's before Shabbos and he can't take Truma and Maaser. Omer, so he can say, Shnei Lugim Shani Ofer La'afish, the two Lugim that I am going to separate after Shabbos or when I pay them, whatever, Harei and Truma, then I'm declaring them Truma, that retroactively, as of now, they'll be Truma. Asora Maaser Ishin, the next 10 will be Maaser Ishin, Tisha Maaser Sheni, the next 9 will be Maaser Sheni, Umechol, the Shoysim Yad, Umechol, with 3 different explanations the other day. Rashi had said it means he's Mechalo the Maaser Sheni on money, that way at least he's not being over on the issue of drinking Maaser, necessarily it's all going to be mixed up. So inevitably, he might be drinking something of what was part of what was supposed to have been the Maaser Sheni, at least by being Mechalo, at first he's avoiding that problem. He bought 100 Logim, yeah. Tosfos over there says that I don't agree with that. He didn't even separate out the Maaser Sheni. How could he already be Mechalal it? So they said the possibility is either that Meichel means he can begin drinking right away, or it means he can mix it with water and drink.
Even if he hasn't
started. No, he already separated them, then he can be Mechalal.
Umeichel
v'shoyt v'miyad, and he can drink right away. Divrei Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda v'Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon Oisrin. So therefore, what do we see from that? The Gemara is assuming that Now, we said the other day, the Braisa ends up saying that they said to the mayor, how can you allow him to drink 79% of this wine and leave that 21% behind and take it after Shabbos or whatever? What happens if over Shabbos the wine skin bursts and all the wine spills and then he never took Truma and Maaser to begin with and he ended up drinking Tevel? And the mayor says, big deal. If it happens, then we'll worry about it then. It's unlikely that it's going to happen. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees with that, and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara is assuming that the same machlokas is over here. If Rabbi Meir is not concerned about the container bursting, he's also not concerned about somebody dying on short notice over there, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would be. The reason, by the way, why the Gemara focuses specifically on Rabbi Yehuda, why it doesn't say that the Braisa could also be like Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, is because we find those other places where Rabbi Yehuda himself specifically says that he's concerned about somebody dying on short notice. In Yuma, you have the case over there of the Kohen Gadol has to be married during the Avodah of Yom Kippur, so Rabbi Yehuda says over there you have to arrange a spare wife for him before Yom Kippur in case his wife dies on Yom Kippur, and the Chachamim say we're not worried about that. So we see Rabbi Yehuda is particularly concerned about this kind of thing. Yeah, that's a shitta. That's a shitta, yeah.
Why are we, let's say he brings the whole thing and then it's filled. So Truma got destroyed, but he never separated
it out, that's the thing. He said,
by leaving there, isn't that considered the
same? No, he has to actually separate, I'm going to separate them out after Shabbos or what have you. He didn't.
Right.
Actually, there is an interesting idea that somebody brings also, that maybe the connection of this machlokas with what we're dealing here in the Gemara is more direct. Never mind whether the barrel might burst over Shabbos. What if he dies over Shabbos and never has a chance to separate out the Truma and Maaser? Anyway, so there you go then. So our Mishnah that's saying that the Bat Yisrael can continue eating Truma is following Rav Meir, who's not worried that her husband may die on short notice. The Braisa, about the case of the get, Sha'ach HaKodim Mikos, he is according to Rav Yehuda. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Incidentally, there's a Gemara in Sukkah that seems to say the other way around. The Gemara brings the possibility over there that it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is concerned. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's not concerned about Misa, and Rabbi Meir is. It's talking in connection the case over there where you take an animal and use it as one of the walls of your Sukkah. What if it dies during Yom Tov? So there's different possibilities that Mepharshim talk about. Either that the Gemara brings a few possibilities over there, so our Gemara could the Gemara schlugs up a biased possibility over there, so therefore our Gemara would be going according to the Maskana, or maybe indeed this is another one of those sugya tafuchas. You have one place the Gemara uses one set of assumptions, and a different place it uses a different set of assumptions. A concept which we had before. Rava Omar. Rava says, here's a different way of reconciling the Mishnah and the Braisa. It's true, Shema Mes Loi Chashinim. It's true, we're not concerned that he's already dead. He does have a chazaka of being alive. So therefore, since her husband, in the case of our Mishnah, her husband didn't divorce her before he left, therefore, when would she become also? Only when he dies. In other words, yeah, it's only at the moment he dies that she'll become also. That we're not concerned about, but in the past he died. But we do have to be concerned that he might die soon. The other case of the get. It's going to be Shah Akhat Misasai. The chazaka doesn't tell us what's going to be in the future, because after all, every person ends up dying. So yes, he has a chazaka that until now he was alive, and therefore we can assume that he continues to be alive, but we can't say because he was alive, therefore he's going to be alive indefinitely in the future. Of course not. So therefore, so that would be the difference. What about the case of the wineskin, the case of the halakeach yayin ben akustim that we just mentioned? That's similar to the case of whether the person might die. Because again, we're not talking about the barrel burst right now before he started drinking. We're talking about the possibility it might burst over Shabbos and the wine will spill. Or plenty, and yet we see that the mayor and Ryota disagree. So it's not a matter of the past versus the future. The mayor is not worried about the past or the future. Ryota is worried about the future as well. The past obviously hasn't broken yet, but Rav Meir is not concerned about the future, that the barrel might burst. Rav Yehuda is concerned about it, that it might burst before he has a chance to take Truma and Mice. Well, that's what we're asking. In other words, you, Rava, want to say that there's a distinction between saying whether we're worried the person is already dead now, which we can say fine, he has a chazaka that up until now he's been alive, versus for the future, where the chazaka doesn't tell us about the future. But in the case of the Noid, that's about the future, and there still is a concern. Amar Rav Yehuda, Midiskarta, okay, shiny Noid, it's different though in the case of a wineskin. Because what you can do is you can have a shomer look after it and make sure if you see that it's starting to bubble and it's about to burst, then you can take measures to stop it. So therefore, it's different. With Misa, there's no shomer and Shulton, we have a mobus. There's no stopping a person's death. Masks for Rav Masharshi. Yes, Rav Masharshi asks back on that. Arvach Arvatsarich. Yes, but your guarantor needs a guarantor himself. What are you saying? You're going to have a shomer watch the wineskin? What if he himself gets careless and then doesn't pay attention to it? Or what if he himself dies over Shabbos? Elam Rava. No, so Rava says rather, Shema mes loy chashidim. Fine. Let's agree that to the first half of what we said before, everybody would agree we're not worried that the person is already dead. Therefore, again, in the case of our Mishnah, the Bas Yisrael can continue eating truma, no problem. Up until now, her husband's been alive. There's no reason to assume that he's already dead, and therefore that at any moment that she eats truma, that she's also. Shema Yomus Tanoihi. However, whether the husband is going to die, that would be the Machlokes Tanoihi. That would be the exact machlokes tanoim in the case of the noid. In the case of halakeach yayin ben akustim, Rav Meir is not worried about it. Rav Yehuda is. Therefore, in the case of the get, that braisa again would be like Rav Yehuda, who is worried about that possibility. Whereas, yes, Rav Meir would disagree with that braisa and say that it's okay for her to continue eating truma as well. In the future.
Rav
Yehuda is concerned. That's what we're saying. Rav Yehuda is concerned about Shema Yomus.
That's why
No, in the case of our mission, it's not the same. So in the case of our mission, the question is not, is he going to die in the future? The question is, at any moment when she's eating truma, has her husband already died? Which would make her also eat this truma that she's about to put in her mouth.
An hour before.
Nobody, not an hour before. Our mission is not about the hour before business.
Oh,
Yeah, our mission is if her husband went to the Sayyam, so that's right. Even Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about that. He was alive when he was alive, the last she knew. Therefore, we can continue with that chazaka that he's still alive.
The other case,
where he gave her a get and says that it takes effect before I die, that's not a question of whether he's already dead. That's at any moment when she eats truma, is he going to die soon? That Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about. Rabbi Meir is not.
The thing that chazaka. The thing
In this case, there's also the fact, you know, the person has been alive until now, but after all, everybody ends up dying unless they're really young. The Mishnah said, "Shaleach chatos from Medina Siyam." The whole of that, if somebody sends a chatos from Medina Siyam, then you can bring it using the chazaka that he's still alive. The question is, okay, fine, you have the chazaka that he's still alive. V'hoppa ina smicha. Don't you need to do smicha on the korban before it's brought? Which Tosfos has a long discussion over here. I mean, first of all, I mean, technically the smicha is not ma'akev. If you don't do smicha on a korban, the korban is still valid. But nevertheless, it's not the proper thing to do. We shouldn't do. I'm pretty sure there are a number of different kinds of korbanos. You're talking about when the Kohen Gadol does the vidui over there? Yeah, okay, the vidui is ma'akev. I don't know if the actual smicha with it is. Maybe it is, man. I don't know. But that's not the issue we're dealing with. I mean, here we were dealing. Somebody sent chatos for an aveda they did. So Tosfos discusses really more just the matter. You shouldn't be doing it l'chatchila without smicha. Tosfos Rid says a little differently. Tosfos Rid invokes the famous principle, kolor roy l'bila bila ma'akevus in bila ma'akevus by that. In the case of a korban mincha, for example, a korban mincha, the flour and the oil are supposed to be mixed together. If you don't mix them, the korban mincha is still valid. But if the mincha is so large, more than 60 esroinim, and it's starting as a shiur chala, there's 60 shiur chalas, it's so large that you can't mix it properly, then it's possible. So the rule which is used throughout Shas is kolor roy labila, anything which is capable of being mixed, ein bila ma'akevus bo. Then if you didn't mix it, it's still kosher. But if it's not roy labila, then the fact that you can't do bila prevents it from being kosher. Same thing over here. If the person was capable of doing smicha and he just didn't bother, then fine, it would still be kosher. Here he's not capable because he's in Medina Siyam. The argument that the Gemara is making is that the korban should be possible on that basis. So Rabbi Yosef says, okay, you have to be talking about it with a woman who sent her korban. We're not talking about a man. A man has to do smicha. Women are not obligated to do smicha. B'nei Yisrael and B'nei Yisrael will live it. The Gemara mentions, I think we looked at in Beitza or Chagiga or something, that Noshim Semchus Rishus. That women, if they want, actually, there's a machlokes. I know you might. Maybe I've had it in Sochem as well. I don't know, the korban place doesn't require smicha, but maybe we talked about it there. I don't remember. That there's actually a machlokes. I know you. Are women allowed to do smicha? Would it be considered doing work with kodshim that's inappropriate? Or maybe nashim semchus rishus? Can they do smicha if they want to? Anyway, but they're not required to. Rapapa says another possibility, which we talked about, bird chatas. There's no smicha on a bird chatas in the first place. So now the Gemara says, now we have three cases in our Mishnah about, we say, the chazaka of the person's alive. One, where the get was sent from Medina Siyam, and the guy was old or sick. Two, that the Bas Yisrael is allowed to continue eating truma based on that her husband is still alive. And three, that the chazaka can be brought. So what do we need all three cases? The Gemara says, tzricha, we need all three. Yes, we didn't get, because if we were only told the case of the get, you would say, you know, Mishum Dela Efter. Because if you're going to be concerned the guy is dead, then you can never send a get from Medina Siyam. There's going to be a problem of igun. A woman is going to be an aguna. You can never send a get from point A to point B. Aval truma, the extra, but truma, as we said on Amud Aleph, there is an alternative. Fine, let her just eat cholin. A maloy, you would think maybe we don't allow that heter, maybe we don't follow the cheskes chayim. So therefore we need that. The ieshmin and truma. So therefore we need to be told that even in the case of truma, we can use the cheskes chayim to allow her to continue eating truma. And we don't say to her, you know what, be on the safe side, just eat cholin. The Yeshmin of Truma, and then if we only have the case of Truma, you would say the Zimnin de Loy Efshir, fine. There are times when it's impossible. There are times when all that's available to eat for her is Truma. Yeah. Avachatas Oif, But when it comes to a chatos, misfeika lalayo chulin la'azara, maybe we would argue that based on a suffix, you can't bring chulin into the azara. So if we're talking about, when it says chatos oif over here, actually, in Masoros Hashas, it brings that maybe the word oif, it shouldn't belong there, because a chatos oif can be brought ala suffix. If a chatos behema can't be brought ala suffix, and if you were to bring it, you might have a potential problem of chulin, not really chulin ba'azara, actually, before we talk about it, it's not really chulin, it's a korban that became possible. But nevertheless, we're using chulin in a looser sense over here. Tosfos over here actually discusses that maybe that the Tosfos discusses that there, over here that there's a difference between whether you're bringing a chatas oif can be brought on a suffix if you yourself have a suffix, whether you have to bring the chatas oif, fine, you can bring the chatas oif, but it just won't be eaten. But if here where you have that here you have that a shliach is bringing this chatas oif, you can't bring it based on a suffix whether the original sender is alive or not. That's what the Gemara would mean. So you would think maybe you can. So therefore we need all three cases. To tell you that even in the case of chatas oif, even though there's a potential problem of chulin ba'azara, nevertheless you can still go ahead.
What if you wouldn't give him a was that considered a visa because?
Okay, that's a whole other. I mentioned it as a side thing. Yeah, there was a whole discussion as Eliyahu and his wife allowed to remarry after we went up to Shemayim. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Rabbi Lozman and Azariah said the following three halachas in front of the Chachamim, the Kimos, the Barav, and they upheld what he said. They said that the halacha is indeed like what he says. Al Irshi Kifu Kalkum, number one, a city that was besieged, and a ship that is being tossed around in the water. So it hasn't yet sunk. And the Rambam says, actually, we're talking about the ship is still intact. It's just being tossed about, and the sailors can't control it. The oars, the sails, and everything are still intact.
Capsized?
No, it hasn't capsized yet. It, everything is still intact. It's just being tossed around, and the soldiers can't get it to move in any particular direction. Vala Yotivli, or a person who is being taken out to be sentenced, in Dini Nefashis, in a capital case, in all those cases, Shein Becheskas Kayamin. In that case, the person still has a chazaka of being alive. So his wife can't remarry, but it also means, for example, if his wife is a Bas Yisrael, she can continue eating Tzuruma on the assumption her husband is alive, etc. Aval Ir Shekov Shekakum, but if you have a city that was captured by the besiegers, was Sfinish of the Bayam, or a ship that was lost at sea, which Sadashi says it means it drowned, that it sank. The Rambam says it means that the equipment has broken up, like the oars are broken, the sails are broken, or whatever. It hasn't actually sunk yet, but it's on the verge of sinking, basically. Or somebody who's actually not just going to be judged on a capital case, but actually found guilty and is going out to be executed. In that case, we do the chumras of the chumrah based on the alive and the chumrah based on the dead. For example, Bas Yisrael a Koyin, or Bas Koyin le Yisrael, lo techo b'truma. Whether it's a Bas Yisrael married to a Koyin, she can't assume her husband is alive anymore. Therefore, she has to stop eating truma. Again, unless she has children from him, then she can eat based on them. And conversely, if it's a Bas Koyin married to a Yisrael, then she also can't eat truma, because what if her husband is still alive, and she's not allowed to eat truma as long as he's alive? This business about the kalkum, by the way, Rishonim bring from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi draws a distinction with the kalkum, with the siege, whether the besiegers are from the same kingdom, from the same kingdom, from Oysa Malchus, or from a different kingdom, like an invading army. And Mefarshim have a bit of a time discussing what distinction the Yerushalmi is making. Is the Yerushalmi implying that in the first case of the Mishnah, where we're saying the city is besieged, you assume the people inside are still alive. Maybe what the Yerushalmi means is that only applies if the besiegers are from the same country, like if it's a civil war, because then they're trying not to destroy the city. So then we can assume everybody in it is still alive. Whereas if it's a foreign nation invading, maybe they are trying to destroy the city as much as possible. Or is the Yerushalmi making a distinction in the Sefer? In the case where the city was conquered by the besiegers, that the difference would be if the besiegers are from the same country where then, like, you know, the people of the city have rebelled, they're out to get everybody, versus if they're invading from another country, maybe they're just out to capture slaves or whatever. A great deal of discussion about all the pros and cons of that. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, as far as the case of we have the person who's going to be judged in Dinin Parshas versus the person who's actually been sentenced, was Shonar other based in Shal Yisrael? This that we said in the Mishnah, that when the person is being taken out to be executed, that we can't be sure if he's alive or dead, and therefore we need to do the Chumras based on the possibility that he's alive and the possibility that he's dead, Lo Shonar other based in Shal Yisrael. This only applies if he was sentenced by a Jewish based in. Because a Jewish based in, even after the Gemar Din, even when he's on his way out to be executed, at any point they might find some reason to exonerate him, and then they bring him back to based in and they hear him out. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sanhedrin have a whole discussion. They send Talmud Chachamim along with him, and if he says, even he himself says, or they have a whole relay system involving a horse and a flagman and whatever, then in case any new evidence turns up, or in case he himself says, I have any evidence, then you bring him back to based in, and et cetera. So therefore, even if he's been sentenced by Beis Din Shal Yisrael, there's still the possibility he may get out of it alive. Avol the Beis Din Shal Ovdei Chachamim, but when it comes to a Goyish court, given to Gomrele Jinilach Tolo, once he's been sentenced to death, Mikno Kapele, that's it, they're going to execute him. There's no reason to do the Chumrah that he might still be alive. Amalei Abaya, why? Beis Din Shal Ovdei Chachamim, Namidim, Rechabla Shechta. Why? A Goyish court might take Shechad, and then they might take bribes and free him from that basis. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, Kishakli, when do we think they might take bribes? Mikamed Lechtum Pursi Shanmag, only before they sign the verdict. So actually, Pursi Shanmag is a Persian word meaning the verdict. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hanano, that means the chief justice. It means that when the Pursi Shanmag, so according to Rashi, the verdict, according to Tosfos, when the chief justice, before he signed it, yes, they might be subject to taking Shechet. The boss said, the Mechtim, Pursi Shanmag, after the verdict, or after the chief justice has signed, was shakli, they're not going to take Shechet anymore. At that point, the guy's as good as dead. Yeah. Moses Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says in Masechta Makos, Kol Mokom Sheyamdu Shnayim, and in any place, you have the case. Suppose you have somebody who was sentenced by Beis Din to be Chayiv Misa, then he escaped. Now the Edim, who originally came to have him tried and sentenced in the first place, go to another Beis Din, anywhere, even in Chutz La'aretz, or a Beis Din Shal Smuchen, obviously, v'yomru, and they say, Mi'idin Anu Asish Ploini Shenigma Beis Din Shal Ploini, that they say, we give Edus on so-and-so, that his verdict was delivered in such and such a Beis Din, u'ploini Edub, and that ploini and ploini are the Edim, on the basis of which it's done, ha'reze yahorek, that other Beis Din can execute him on the basis of that Edus, even though they didn't hear the original evidence and all that, but based on the Edus, the two Edim who said that he was sentenced in this other Beis Din, they can execute him on that basis. That's the point. That's the point. So, on the face of it, we see that once the first Beis Din has sentenced him, then that's it. He's as good as dead. What are you telling me that a Beis Din Shal Yisrael, maybe he's still alive, no smell of Chum Nechaim? We see this other Beis Din can execute him just based on no questions asked, because he was sentenced. The answer is, yeah, well, obviously we have to check if the Edom is on. The answer is, Duma Bereach Shaini, yes, but you might say there's a difference. If he ran away, you might say if he's still there, then yes, the Beis Din Shal Yisrael will try to look for evidence to exonerate him. But if he ran away, then the fact that itself shows he's guilty. Tashma, Shamam Beis Din Shal Yisrael. What if somebody hears from a Jewish Beis Din Shal Yisrael, Ish Plani Mes, Ish Plani Nerag? They say so and so died, or so and so was killed. Now, died, Rashi says, doesn't just mean that he died while in jail, and in halacha there's really no such thing as jail. But you have cases, it talks about Sanhedrin, where, for example, a person has done a certain aveda many times, is a repeat offender, then at that point, they put him in a confined area, they put him in a kiva, they feed him barley and water until his stomach swells up and explodes. It's an indirect death sentence, kind of. That's called mess, yeah. Or Nerag. Yassir Asishtei, they can go ahead and allow his wife to remarry on the basis of that Edus. But, not Edus, and on the basis of what they heard from this Beis Din. It wasn't official Edus, but yeah. On the other hand, Mikum Natrisin, Shal Ovdei Chachamim, if you hear it from the Goyish recorders, Kum Natrisin actually is related to the commentary in English. It means the official record keepers, the official Goyish record keepers. If they say Ish Plani Mes, Ish Plani Nerag, Al Yassir Asishtei, you can't allow his wife to remarry on that basis. Now, let's ask, my mess or my nerag? What do we mean? Well, let's see. My mess or my nerag? What do we mean by dead versus killed? Elam mess mamish v'nerag nerag mamish. Do we mean dead in the literal sense, that he's actually dead from the keeper or in jail or whatever, and nerag nerag mamish? Then Jacob say, so why, if you hear that from Goyim, why can't you allow his wife to be married? We know that if a Goy is Messiah HaPitrumai, if he doesn't give an official edus, he just says, like, by the way, this person is dead. We learned at the end of Yevamos, for example. You can accept that as evidence that he's dead and allow his wife to be married. Elalav, it must be then. Mes means yoytzeh lamus. Mes means that he's about to die, but not quite dead yet. Nerav yoytzeh laharig, and nerav means on his way to be killed. V'chatoni be-based in Yisrael, yafiru asishtoi. And we see that a based in Yisrael, you can allow his wife to be married, because we know he's as good as dead. So what are you, Rabbi Yosef, telling us at the beginning of the sugya, that maybe they'll find evidence to exonerate him and let him go? The answer is, well, oilam mes mamish v'nerag mamish. No, you could actually say it means literally that he's dead and literally that he's killed. I would determine to kavaseg abu evrikovim amai lois. He was asking, so why, if you hear it from Goyim, why is that not good enough evidence? What's the problem? Well, kaimelon dechom mesiach v'vitumah emunim ehemni. We know that a Goyim mesiach v'vitumah can be believed. The difference is, hanimila b'milsa delay shaychidma. When can we believe mesiach v'vitumah? When the Goy has no direct involvement with the thing that he's talking about. Where he has no benefit from it, basically. There's a case, for example, at the end of Yevamos, where a bunch of people came and stayed by an inn, and then a couple of them left, and when they came back, they said, where's our friend? And the innkeeper said, he died, and I buried him. He has nothing to gain from that. Abel the Mil said, the Shaychi Ba, but in something where the Goyim have what to gain from it, on the contrary, Abilach Zukishikrayu, they might falsely claim that they killed him, even though they really didn't, to make people afraid of them. They want people to know we're tough on crime. So therefore, they're going to claim that they executed him, even if they really did. Now, are we he's still alive, really? So, are we talking about the Rishonim talk about? Are we talking about specifically if we heard it from the court itself, that the court, if the members of the court itself might lie like that? But on the other hand, if we hear it from some third party, maybe that's not a problem. They have nothing to gain from it, or maybe not. Maybe even third party want to make their judicial courts look better. They want to be able to say, look, our courts are tough on crime, and therefore even they we can't believe. I guess it's just right. I don't know.